Oh, hush the noise and cease the strife and hear the angels sing. Jesus, the love song of God. Jesus, the glory of God. Jesus, the grace and truth of God. Lord, hush the noise of a restless world. Hush the noise of our restless hearts and speak your grace and truth to us this very night. Amen. Well, tonight I'd like to tell you two stories that are shaping our world, shaping our imaginations, and shaping our future. In the first story, life, it's a bit of a mixed bag, really. People working and studying and homemaking and serving the community in all kinds of ways. Most people, though, feel stressed and busy. Nearly half are lonely. A third are anxious or depressed. So there's this mixed bag of joy and sorrow. There's light and dark. There's achievements and failures. Now, as Aussies, we're a pretty optimistic bunch. A bit more than half optimistic and a little less than half pessimistic. But we live now with a barrage of unsettling news. Global wars, climate, cost of living. And in the last couple of weeks, an appalling act of terrorism at Bondi, targeting the Jewish community. These things cast a shadow of darkness over our thoughts and our lives and our country. In this mixed up world, grace and truth are hard to come by. Random acts of kindness, they give us little glimpses of grace. Acts of bravery and selflessness in the face of violence, that's grace. A friend who doesn't abandon you when you make a mistake, that's grace. Checking in on a vulnerable neighbor, that's an expression of grace. Grace is uncommon because grace is getting something we haven't earned or something we don't even deserve. But modern life, it's largely transactional. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And the threads of family or workplace relationships get frayed by stress or hurt or unmet expectations. And that's not the kind of soil in which grace can spring up and flourish. And truth, oh, there's a touchy word in the world today. We supposedly live in a post-truth world with many of us, all of us, kind of suspecting the media of a little bit of bias. Politicians, well, they'd never manipulate the truth to suit themselves, would they? And businesses, I think they'll be truthful if it boosts the profit and rewards the shareholders. And just spend a little time on social media and you'll have the algorithms pumping at you posts which are not particularly interested in truth so much as causing you to be fearful or enraged, because that's what gets clicks. Nuance and patient analysis in search of truth, well, that's just a casualty of our attention economy. When we turn to God's word and we turn to John's gospel, there's a diagnosis of the underlying problem that we're facing, the problem behind the short supply of grace and truth in our world. Verse 10 says that when Jesus, the author of life, entered our world, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own didn't receive him. There's darkness in the world today because humanity has gone rogue. We're meant to be a team with a captain. We're meant to be an orchestra with a conductor. But we live as if no one's leading us. No one's going to tell me what I have to do. See, we've been ignoring the author of life and turning our back on the source of light and life and grace and truth. But if we want to live well, we need to get back in sync with the one who gives life and directs life. And that one we see in John Verses 3 and 4, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. It's in him that is life, and that life, that's the light of all mankind. See, life is a gift, but rather than receiving God's gift in humble gratitude, well, humans, for as long as we've been around, we've been choosing to reject the world's creator, the world's true owner, the Lord, and instead we've been living as if we're self-made, we're self-important, we're self-ruling. And we get so used to constructing or curating our image on social media or in the workplace or in the groups we're in the community or even in our family, that we almost believe that we really are self-made people. But that's not the truth. Now, the second story I want to tell tonight is how Jesus shines light through the darkness. How real grace and truth change the plot line in our mixed up, messed up lives and the world around us. See, in the second story, God sees how his original design of beauty and truth and goodness and justice have been overshadowed by people living for themselves and shutting him out. And God enters the world graciously to renew it from the inside out. The true light that gives light to everyone came into the world. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Message Bible puts verse 14 like this: the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. God isn't far away in heaven or stuck in some restricted access zone like a cathedral or a temple or some halls of power. No, God became relatable. God became touchable, knowable, followable. The Word became human, just like us. It's like a movie director who's planned the biggest blockbuster ever that tells the ultimate drama. And this director has screen tested every actor from Hollywood to Bollywood and beyond. And there's no one who can play the hero. So what does the director do? He gets up from his chair. He steps onto the soundstage. And he himself plays the leading role. God in the flesh shows us God's vision for what love and justice and grace and truth look like. Jesus healed the sick, restored people who'd been excluded from community. He loved the unlovable, the vulnerable, the oppressed. His life was a walking demonstration of grace, an undeserved and unearned gift of God's kindness. And Jesus was perfect truth. He called out the hypocrisy of many of the religious leaders of his day. He warned of judgment. He warned of hell as much as he painted pictures of heaven. And he called his followers to serve selflessly, to expect suffering in his name. Grace and truth in word and deed. And this is what was promised from centuries before his birth. Psalm 85 is the cry of a people who've been through a crisis, who've been exiled from their homeland, who feel the darkness of the world, and they realize in a moment of truth, they're in the darkness because they turned away from God. And so they pray to God, pray that he would restore and revive and save his people. And God responds by promising peace to his people. And the darkness lifts a bit. That salvation is near, like a surf lifesaver who spots someone caught in a rip and paddles out, stretches out a rescuing hand. That's light breaking in further. And then there's this beautiful climax in verse 10 and 11. Love and faithfulness, or in other translations, graciousness, grace and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Grace and truth come together as God bridges the gap between heaven and earth. See, this is God's story, which is so much more beautiful than the humanity as rebels story. We can't make ourselves gracious or truthful. It's only going to happen through God's intervention, which is why the title given to Jesus in Matthew is so precious. Emmanuel. God is with us. Jesus is God's grace with us. Jesus is God's truth to guide us. So Christmas celebrates the start of the grace and truth revolution. Now, to dispel the darkness, we need to face up to truth, even if it's uncomfortable. And Exodus 34 should make us a little uncomfortable. Because the truth about God is He is holy. He is more pure, more committed to justice, more offended by wrongdoing than we could ever imagine. And while most of us are happy to have a God who judges really bad people, murderers and war criminals and those who abuse, we get a little less comfortable with a God who is righteously angry at our sins, our selfishness, our casual lies. The popular myth has it that most of us are basically good. But Jesus, when he was talking about those stone tablets that Moses carried up the mountain and that recorded the Ten Commandments, Jesus said, God's law, it's not just about the headline stuff about not stealing and not killing. It's about what's going on in the heart. And so anger or resentment is as serious as murder. Lust is as serious as adultery. Even FOMO, fear of missing out on what others have. I think that's just a modern way of saying I'm coveting something. And by that measure, none of us measure up. We all fall short of God's perfect, true standard. But Exodus 34 gives us another hint of how God is dealing with his people, because it's another heaven and earth meeting moment. Moses went up Mount Sinai to receive God's law, but more than that, Moses dared to ask to see God, to experience God's presence. And so it answers the question, what is God like? He is compassionate and gracious. He abounds in love and faithfulness. God who revealed himself to Moses on Mount Sinai, that is the same God who took on flesh and dwelt among us in the person of Jesus. It's that power combination once again of love and faithfulness, or in other words, grace and truth. God's grace is manifest in the forgiveness of sins and preserving love and faithfulness. God's truth is manifest because God promises that he will punish sin. The truth that there is darkness that touches our lives, we can readily accept that. The truth that sickness and natural disasters and divisions in society show a world that's fallen from God's perfect design, yeah, we can agree with that. But there's a truth that we can't handle. And that truth is that I am part of the problem. Darkness isn't only out there. It's in here. It's in me. I don't love perfectly. I don't give perfectly. I don't trust perfectly. And so the truth is that God is just and right to be angry at my sin. God's truth means I need forgiveness. And so, if we're truthful, does everyone here tonight? Which is why Christmas and Easter are a package deal. Heaven met earth when Jesus was born, and heaven met earth when Jesus died in your place and my place. He died so that our sin, which truly, truthfully would see us cut off from God, in grace, is atoned for, paid for, cancelled, annulled, done away with, nailed to the cross. So at the cross, the light of the world gave up his life to take our darkness, our guilt, our shame. You do grace without truth, and it's little better than sentimentality. And you do truth without grace, and that just leaves us judged and feeling condemned. So Christmas without Easter would be grace, but not enough truth. Put Christmas and Easter together. Put Jesus' birth and his life. Put the cross and the empty tomb. That is grace and truth. That is the story of God's love on full and glorious display. Now, I've shared two stories with you tonight. And in the first story, we, the people, have staged a coup, rejected our true king, and so we live with only shadows of grace and truth, touching the world from time to time. But in the second story, God comes as a lifesaver. God comes as our new captain, as our conductor. God comes to join heaven and earth and invites each of us to join in that second story. John chapter 1 again. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. Christmas isn't meant to be a spectator event. Christmas is an invitation. When you see what God has done, when you understand who Jesus is, you don't just say, oh, that was nice. Kind of like Delta Goodrum's just wrapped up her special Christmas concert. No, you're invited to join this story. You're invited to get involved. And the way to take up your part in this story, it goes like the first three letters of the alphabet. There's an A, B, and C. A is for admit. Admit the truth that you've been living for yourself. Admit the truth that not only is sin and darkness out there, but it's in your heart and mind and will. Admit that you've sinned and that you're sorry for it. B is for believe. Believe that Jesus, full of grace and truth, is God in the flesh. He's come to bring us back into full life, a forgiven life, a renewed life with God. Believe that his death on the cross paid the penalty for your sin. And C is for child. Become a child of God. Receive the gift of God's very own Spirit living in you. Will you make room in your heart for God? Will you receive the gracious gift of new life and a new story which God will write in your heart as you live for Jesus and his kingdom? For those of you who've already begun that ABC, who've begun that new life, will you be an agent of grace and truth to the world around us? Will Jesus' grace and truth shape your working life, your family life, if you're studying, your social life? Week in and week out, our church is on about coming to Jesus, growing in Jesus, and going for Jesus. And we'd love for you to join us regularly to get your fill of grace and truth for everyday living. But maybe tonight you're only beginning to explore Christian faith and you're not ready for a new commitment yet. We'd like to give you a gift. This is a new book by Sam Chan called The Missing Piece. It's an easy read, a quick read, and it'll help you understand more about life and how to find God's peace. You can grab one from the table by the entry doors on your way out tonight, or ask me for one. Let me lead us now in prayer. Thank you, God, for Jesus, full of grace and truth. May that grace and truth shine into our lives, drive out the darkness, and transform us to be more like the King, the Lord, our Saviour Jesus. It's in his name and for his glory that we pray. Amen.